It's the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A presentation of Becky Holm, your insurance professional, focusing on Medicare, Marketplace, dental, and life.
Live from Washington, D.C. this morning, 2nd District Congressman Cliff Benson with us. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Kyle. Great to be with you.
So back in D.C. and things starting to kick in back there after the August recess. I guess to begin our brief time, what's your overall thought about the state of Congress currently?
Well, I would say focused on figuring out how in the world to probably pass a continuing resolution to keep the government open at the end of this month, because the fiscal year ends September 30th. And so despite best efforts by a lot of people, budget bills have not yet been passed either by the House or by the Senate. And the reason is quite simple. Each budget has to be, there are 12 parts of the total budget bill process. Each one of those has to go through what's called regular order, and that gives folks who want to slow down the process or try to leverage the process an opportunity to do exactly that. And all of a sudden, you're out of time, and all of a sudden, you have to keep the government open, and now you're stuck with a continuing resolution. So everyone's seen it before, and this time around, we're right where we were before. And I could go into more detail, but we are limited on time. I'll just tell you that I think CR will pass. The debate now is, what is it going to be, short term to the end of the year or a full year? That's the debate right now.
What are your priorities going into this fall, things that you're working on specifically for the 2nd District and for Oregon?
One of the things that's of huge importance is the availability of electricity. And I don't know if people understand the precipice that we find ourselves standing on. We're looking squarely into the distinct possibility of brownouts, blackouts, not enough electricity. And the only reason we've been able to avoid this so far is we haven't had a drought along the Columbia. If the Columbia River were to diminish in flow, we would be in great big trouble. And we can trace this right back to the Democrat priorities of doing away with firm power, whether that be natural gas or even coal out of the Rocky Mountain region. We don't have enough firm power. And laws have been passed making it almost impossible to open a natural gas-fired plant in Oregon. And worse, people have waited too long. And right now, if you wanted to open a gas-fired plant, you'd have to wait 6 to 7 to 8 years to get the turbines to generate the power, because everybody right now is trying to build natural gas-fired plants. And of course, the delay now is finding the equipment to operate them.
And it sounds like you really feel like this is a pretty serious situation that a lot of people just aren't taking note of.
So I think everybody gets an electrical bill each month, and when they see it, they go, oh my goodness, it's going up, it's going up, it's going up. And that's because electricity is in huge demand. In Lakeview, for example, there's a new business there that needs a lot of electricity. They can't get it. In Portland, there are all kinds of things that they'd love to have happen, but they don't have the power. This is a situation that is across the state. In Idaho, even the new Micron expansion for in the billions of dollars, the chip manufacturing, they don't have the power. And so it's going to get worse, because right now we're in many call it an existential race with China to develop artificial intelligence. And that takes enormous amounts of power. We have the server farms that are waiting to be built along the Columbia. We don't have the power. And the Democrats are tone deaf to this. That's why they want to take out dams. And that's why they took out the dams on the Klamath. I got to tell you, Kyle, the situation we now find ourselves in can be traced right back to very poorly thought out policy that was called out by we Republicans in the Oregon legislature time and time again, and now we're up against it. And I would challenge anybody to come in and try to to state the opposite case, because sadly, we are exactly where I'm saying we are.
As Congress gets into the fall session here, every day it seems like we hear about another executive order from the president. Some people may favor them, some people may not favor particular ones. But one of the questions that's come up is Congress actually losing its power to create laws to all these executive orders.
Right. So the executive order is much more of a illustration of what the president wants as opposed to something that becomes law. An executive order is not the law. It's an order, and generally it's time limited. It reflects what the president would like to do, but if the law doesn't allow it, then it's not going to happen. And so he comes to us in Congress and asks if we will please pass a law that makes his executive order statutory. And to a significant extent, we've followed his suggestions and incorporated a number of those into the great big bill we passed. But there are many others that have not been enacted into statute yet. Many of his ideas we support totally. Others, we're still debating how to make them actually work, because an executive order is a pretty short document, and many times not as detailed as, almost always not as detailed as you need if you're going to make it into a law. But anyway, the short answer is no, we are not losing power, but we are coordinating with the executive branch, which is perfectly normal when you have a Republican Congress and a Republican executive branch.
Do you feel like the level of polarization between both sides of the aisle is ramped up more than you've seen it in the past?
Absolutely. The answer is absolutely yes. Although I have to say, when we were in the minority and the Democrats controlled the branches of government, the situation wasn't much different. The minority party is ignored, and the majority party, to the extent that it can, does what it wants to do with little regard for the minority. And that's how I saw it work when I first got here. It's not much different now that we Republicans are in charge. The focus changes, of course, because the Senate requires 60 votes, and that we Republicans have just 53 votes. And so there's much discussion when you get to the Senate on how in the world you're going to get seven Democrat votes. That's not the case in the House. It just takes one over half, basically. And so we don't here in the House have to pay too much attention to what the minority says, but still, it's the Senate that's you got to find company there unless you're going to do stuff like we just did. The great big bill was done under reconciliation, only took 51 votes.
Now, along with a continuing resolution or a budget getting through, what's another big priority that Congress needs to address this fall?
Well, there are so many. I will tell you that we are working hard in the Energy and Commerce Committee on permitting reform, which I think puts everybody to sleep, but is so important if we're going to move things forward in a way that requires rapid response. We're going to have to address permitting, and whether that's in housing, where we find permitting extending the cost and the delay in doing a house into the months, if not years, whether it's in the transmission of electricity and trying to get new power to all of us that need it. And there's a power line that's being built across eastern Oregon from Idaho up to Boardman, Hermiston area. And it's been 15 years since that process started. Actually, I think it's more. And not a shovel of dirt moved. They're finally getting close to perhaps having everything in order. But I got to tell you, Kyle, the delays that are compounding when we try to get stuff done in this country are shocking and I think hugely dangerous.
All right, we're out of time for now. Hopefully we'll connect again soon. From Washington, D.C., 2nd District Republican Congressman Cliff Vince. Congressman, thanks for being on this morning.
Thank you, Kyle. Really, really appreciate the opportunity.
8:41 at the Morning Report.